In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. My beloved, today is the first Sunday of the blessed month of Hatur, and this month is the month that precedes Kiyak, which is when we celebrate the nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ, or His incarnation. So all the readings of this month have to do with preparing ourselves to receive the Word of God. So you find all of them have to do with that, like the Word of God, the physical, the spoken word of God in preparation for receiving the Logos or the Word of God incarnate. This Sunday and next Sunday, the gospel will be the same, just from a different gospel. It's the gospel of the sower. This is a very popular and familiar gospel. And the Lord is telling this gospel to people who are very familiar with farming. So when He tells them, okay, there's a sower that goes out to sow and throw seeds, this is something they live, they're very familiar with. And how some seeds fall on the wayside and the rock, they know that these aren't going to bring forth any crop. The only ones that they know are going to bring crop are the ones in the good ground. So, but in this story, there's a given that they understand. And that given is the diligence of the sower. The sower is actually going to go out and to sow the seed, right? In all of the cases, the sower was consistent and he went and threw the seed. I think if we said the story nowadays, we would try to make a twist on the story and say, okay, instead of a sower going out to sow, why don't we just make a drone? This drone will go up and spread the seeds so I can just control it from my house with a remote. You know, why am I going to go and trouble myself? Why don't we make a machine that's automated and that can go and sow the seed by itself? And it's going to be even more efficient than what I would do. It'd be very even and consistent, right? So we'll think of a way to make the job easier so we don't have to do any of the work. And I think nowadays there's this like spirit of laziness in our culture that maybe we need to speak about and address. So I'll speak a little bit about laziness this week and next week, the sin of laziness. And again, we see it all over from the, you know, the immediate things we can get. We order something, and with that, maybe that same day can be in our doorstep. We don't have to set a foot outside of the house. If I want food, I can just drive to through the fast food lane and get the food. If the pharmacy is the same, even if I don't want to go out, you can hire like Uber Eats or something, and they can come pick up the stuff for you and deliver it to your house. A lot of the things that we live in our days is made to, you know, keep us lazy and keep us in our homes. Even back in the day, I remember when I was a kid, in order to rent a movie or something, there was a store. It's called Blockbuster, for those of us who know. You had to actually go to the store. You had to go and read the back of the movie and see what the rating was and what it was about. And then you make your choice and you go home. And you had 2 days to watch it. And then you have to go take it back. So there was a big deal to watch a movie. Now everything's online. You just kind of, you go and you have thousands and thousands upon movies that you just kind of peruse through and choose something. And even there are many mantras in our society that, you know, encourage us to, you know, spoil ourselves and to be lazy. You'll find mantras that say, what, treat yourself, you deserve it. You deserve a break. Pamper yourself. And all of these things. It's all about, you know, disseminating the spirit of laziness. Even when it comes to our health, you'll find advertisements, you know, on TV and on the internet saying, what, lose weight with no exercise or diet. Just take this, right? And they promise all of these different things. You'll find, make money fast, 30 minutes a week, and you'll make $1,000 extra, you know, a week in income. Everything wants to be so quick, right? Just while I just sit there and generate income. Even among so there's many examples. I can continue forever, but there are many examples. So we'll speak this morning about maybe evaluating ourselves. Am I lazy? And then next week we'll speak about overcoming laziness. Imagine if somebody, or if there was somebody who followed you around for 24 hours a day and didn't leave you alone, and they kind of videotaped your life for 24 hours. And they said, you're going to come back and you're going to watch this videotape, you know, in its entirety, right? How many of us would look at this videotape and say, this would be the most boring 24 hours of my life ever? Right? I don't want to sit and watch myself being on the phone for 8 hours. Right? Maybe when you're engaged on the phone, you're entertained and everything, right? But then imagine watching yourself on a TV for 8 hours just staring at a phone. You know, would I look at my life and say that my life, my day was lazy during this 24 hours, or was I productive in this day? Did I do something maybe to help others or to serve others? So the goal of the talk this week and next week is for self-evaluation. I'm not here to accuse anyone because this applies to me first before it applies to you. So we're going to try to learn, you know, together. So what is laziness? Laziness is not a lack of ambition or a lack of ideas. It's not the lack of idea. It's not that, okay, I don't have any ambitions or I don't want to do anything. Look what the proverb says. It says, the soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing. What's the difference between the person who desires and the person who has nothing? The one who, both people could desire, but the difference is one is motivated to move and one is not. So laziness is more of a lack of motivation to translate one's feelings, ideas, and desires into action. So I don't have the motivation to make the idea into an action. How many of us say, you know what, I'm going to start exercising. I've told myself this many times. So I'm going to start today, and then today never comes, right? Or I'm going to change the way that I do whatever, and it never happens, right? It's not a lack of ideas, but it's a lack of motivation to actually change. And there are many... There's another, the proverb speaks a lot about laziness. And actually, I'm reading this, and maybe why this is why I thought about this sermon. But look in Proverbs 22, verse 13, he says what? The lazy man says, there is a lion outside. I shall be slain in the streets. So the lazy man says, okay, there's a lion. This lion's going to come, and it's going to attack me. But he comes to the conclusion of what? I'm going to die in the street. There's no effort. There's no fight. I'm not going to flee. I'm not going to run. I'm not going to ask for help. It's just defeat. Right when you see a challenge. And this is a sign of a person who's lazy. When they see a challenge or a difficulty, it's just give up, lay down, put the right white flag, and I give up. I'm not doing anything. This is a classic sign of a lazy man. They see the lion, and they say, okay, I'm going to die today. There are many different forms of laziness. It's not just the physical. There is that. That's the first one, the physical form of laziness, where I avoid work, or I make excuses not to do work, whether it's chores or any necessary duty. And sometimes some, you know, if they find that something's going to be asked of them, they can make and pretend that they're sick or they're hurting or something's doing, just so I don't have to do what somebody asks, right? This is the physical type of laziness. There's also the mental type of laziness, whereas the laziness of the mind. I don't want to think about something. If there's a problem, I don't want to think about the solution. I'll push the solution on to somebody else. If there's studying that needs to be done, I don't want to study. If it's time for me to prepare for the servants, like a Sunday school lesson, I don't want to waste time in preparing something. Let me just see what's there. I'll read it, and that's what I'll give to the kids, or I'll put something, you know, online, and whatever comes is that's what I'm going to say. So this is like the mental laziness. They prefer entertainment rather than mental work and activity. There's also spiritual laziness, where it's the laziness that comes to our spiritual life, whether it's neglecting our prayers or our confessions or our reading of scripture or coming to church on time. All of these things are like spiritual laziness. There's also maybe a tricky one and maybe one that's a little bit more hidden, and this is the productive laziness. This is the laziness of somebody who knows what ought to be done, but is busy doing something else because they don't want to do what they ought to be doing. So they know they should be, they should be preparing for some kind of Sunday school lesson, or they should be studying for school, or they should be working on some project for work. And instead of doing this, they start doing chores around the house. The chores are good. They need to be done, right? But instead of doing what I need to be doing, then I'm finding something else. So in my mind, I'm saying what? I'm busy, but actually I don't want to do what I'm supposed to be doing, right? This is kind of a hidden form. What are some of the proponents of laziness? What are things that maybe encourage us or make us to be more lazy? Like I mentioned at the beginning, it's the comfort culture, where everything is tailored around our comfort. Everything needs to be convenient. Actually, the spiritual life and spiritual growth is actually the opposite of this. There's no spiritual growth without inconvenience. Every spiritual activity is inconvenient, if you think about it, right? To stand up to pray, okay, that's inconvenient. To come to church early, to wake up early is, again, it's inconvenient. To fast is very inconvenient. To do acts of charity, to give to the poor, again, is inconvenient. The whole spiritual life is inconvenient. So if I'm living my life looking for convenience in every avenue, and then we're going to come and say, okay, stand and pray from the Igbaya, or give to the poor, or today we're going to fast. Those are all inconvenience, right? So we need to be very careful of allowing ourselves to live in this laziness, because it will certainly affect our spiritual life as well as our entire life. So this comfort culture trains us to avoid any effort. Again, if we go to Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 9, look what he says. He says, "How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come upon you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man." So what is he saying here? The one who continually seeks this comfort will be just a little more rest will come. So rest will be more rest. You ever slept so long where you were tired, more tired than when you slept a short time? Yeah, because the more we sleep and allow ourselves to become lazy, the more the body becomes weaker and tired and lazy. So it's like this slow drift into ruin. So laziness, it doesn't begin by like something, you know, strong or catastrophic or rebellious in the beginning. It begins something very small and small and small. So you find this slow drift into laziness. So the first one is the comfort culture. The second is procrastination, pushing today's tasks to another day. And now we all know that, and maybe we've all maybe have shared a part in this. We say always, there's tomorrow. I'll begin this tomorrow. I'll start this tomorrow. Again, if we go to Proverbs 20, look what he says. He says, "The lazy man will not plow because of winter. He will beg during harvest and have nothing." So he says, the lazy man will not plow because it's winter. So you should be plowing in winter, so that way you can sow the seeds in the spring, right? So then you can yield the crop in the summer. So the lazy man is not going to plow because he says, it's cold outside. It's cold. I'm not going to plow. If you don't plow in the winter, is the ground going to be good for the spring? And if the ground's not good for the spring, are you going to have anything to eat? You have nothing to eat. This is why he says he will beg. He will beg during the harvest because he didn't plant when he was supposed to, or he didn't plow when he was supposed to plow, right? So it's just procrastination. I'll do it when it's warm, but when it's warm, it's not the right season, and it won't work right, right? So there's some things we need to do in our life at the appropriate time, even when it's inconvenient. We can't push things off to tomorrow and expect good results. Number three is discouragement. Sometimes we become lazy because we're discouraged, and this discouragement can come from one of two things. Number one, it can result from a person's low self-esteem, where I always think of myself that I'm not good enough. So I don't put anything into action because I never think I can complete it or do a good job, right? So maybe this needs, you know, to put things in perspective and say, okay, one step is better than no step, right? Or you can maybe lean on somebody who can help you and encourage you to do this work, right? So it can result from low self-esteem. And the other is very similar. It's a despair. I don't move and I become lazy because, again, I have this idea, well, nothing's going to change anyway. Why bother? I come back and I do the same sins over and over again. So why even bother changing or trying? Nothing can be done. This is a hopeless case, so I can't do anything. Again, all of these are thoughts of despair where nothing can come out of this, so I end up not doing anything. There was a time in Elijah's life after he had executed all the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, and Jezebel was coming after him, and she made a vow that I'm going to kill the prophet. So he goes into hiding, and he prays to God, and he says to God, "It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life." So he fell into this despair because the queen is after him, and she vowed, you know, to kill him. So he kind of had this despair. But thankfully, again, the Lord restored him and revealed to him, no, there are many people who are still with you. Number four is the constant distractions will lead us to become more lazy and more lazy. The phones are one of the big reasons, right? We spend so many hours, we can be on our phone. We're distracted in almost everything. We can be distracted in church. We can be distracted in our workplace. We're distracted in school, all because we have this very powerful device in our hands. Again, this leads again to more laziness. How many apps, you know, if you look on our phones, how many apps do you have? You ever looked? I didn't look, but I have several pages. And I'm looking, I said, I don't think I remember using some of these. Or maybe I needed it for one thing, and it's still there. But you find there's an app for almost everything to keep me from doing something, right? There's an app to order food. There's an app to order groceries. There's an app to, you know, pay your bills online. There's an app to check your balance. There's an app for everything, right? Just to keep me seated in this one spot. So I go from one thing to another while I'm on my phone, and I'm not moving, right? I'm not moving. God didn't create us to be immobile. He wants us to be mobile and to be active and to not be lazy. So we get caught up with the, again, what's going on in social media, our emails, work feeds, even sports. Everything is done while we are sitting and distracted. Number five is the pampering the flesh. This certainly will promote laziness. I think if we thought back maybe to our grandparents or maybe great-grandparents who lived in Egypt, you know, and they had to like farm to get make a living and all of these things, and they go and it was very hot, and you tell them, okay, go to pamper yourself. Pamper yourself back then might be just to get a cup of water while it's hot outside. This is, you know, akhir al-dala. Now when you think of pampering self, it's like everybody else is doing something for me, but I'm not doing anything. Right? So I go, somebody's doing my nails, somebody's doing my toenails, somebody's cleaning the house, somebody's washing my car, somebody's watching my kids, somebody's giving me like massage. Everything is done for us, right? This is again the pampering of the self. This will lend to laziness. And again, more of the pampering will lead to the more desire for the pampering. And then if I feel pampered, then this is what I believe that I'm entitled to. And then how again am I going to fast and pray and to give charity to the poor, and all of this while I'm indulging the flesh and pampering the flesh. As we said before, more of the sleep will want more sleep. More of the laziness will want to be more lazy. More entertainment will want more entertainment. More food will want more food. And 1 Timothy, St. Paul is speaking to his disciple Timothy, and he speaks and he says what? She who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. So he's saying to him to be diligent as a servant of God, okay? And he says, okay, the person who lives in pleasure is dead while they're alive because they're not productive. Imagine if somebody, all they did was lay down in the bed and were on their phone, everything was done for them on their phone. Subh al-layl, morning and evening, this is all they did. When the person dies, would anybody notice? The only person that would notice would be the person whom they're on the other side of the application, right? One less customer. But nobody else would notice because they're sitting there doing nothing anyways, right? But when somebody's active and reaching out and asking about people and serving people and being diligent in your work and diligent in your studies and all of these things, again, I'm an active member in the society. So pampering the flesh will lead to even more laziness. The next one is laziness. Lazy company breeds laziness. So it's a lazy company. If I hang out with people who all they do all day is play video games, then guess what? This will be who I am, right? You won't find a diligent person who's hanging out with people who are lazy because it'll drive them crazy, right? Okay, I can't just sit here in front of a screen for this many hours. I feel like I'm not doing anything. I'm not being productive, right? So find people who are more diligent and are active and hang out with them, and you'll find you'll become more active and less lazy. The next one is the work is not worth the effort. So the person who is lazy, maybe they look at a task and they say, it's not valuable enough for me to get up and to do the work. So I look at something and say, coming to church early is not that important. You know, people say, oh, I can come for the gospel. So let me come and time myself just for the gospel. By the way, that's not what the church said. The church says we begin at 7:30 with matins, and that's when we all should be here. Right? That's when the liturgy begins. Right? So we should all be here at this time. But I tell myself, what? It's not worth it. What am I going to gain? What I'm going to pray in those first 30 minutes of church, I'll pray during the liturgy, and that's good for me. Right? So we look at things and say, it's not valuable enough, right, for me. If we remember the parable of the talents, where the Lord is saying that he distributed, the master distributed talents, 1 5, 1 2, and 1 1, right? The one who had five labored and got double, right? And he heard the praise from the Lord saying, well done, good and faithful servant. The same one that had two, he went and he got two more and he heard the same praise from the Lord. What did the one person, the one that got one talent, he took the talent and buried it. Why did he bury it? He said to himself, it's not worth it, right? He gave me one talent and I'm going to work all this time and just get one other talent? Ah, whatever. One is nothing. It's like saying, what, I'm going to give you a dollar and I want you to work hard for a whole day so tomorrow you can give me two. You're like, $2, you have a better chance of going, finding a dollar than spending the whole day working. So it's not worth it to me. I'm okay not having the dollar. You see the point? We value things and say, okay, it's not worth my time and effort, so we don't do it. There again, there are some things that are valueless but are important, right? They seem to be value in terms of money, but they're important in our life. The relationships we have, right? The time we spend with our children, the effort we do just in upkeeping our homes and our spiritual life and so on. All of these things, there's maybe not a dollar amount next to it, but they're very important. They're very important. When somebody doesn't value a work, you'll find there's no urgency for the person to do it. There's no sense of responsibility. I don't feel like this is necessary. And they will excuse themselves in any way, shape, or form. They'll tell themselves it doesn't matter, it's not important, and no one will notice. So a student who thinks that homework is pointless will tell himself, oh, it's just a fraction of my grade, it's not a big deal. So they'll procrastinate and not do it. The husband thinks, okay, apologizing to my wife for doing something is not going to change anything. So why am I going to apologize? I'm just not going to do it. I avoid it. A person who says to themselves, okay, I know I should be reading scripture, but I don't understand it and it doesn't really help me. So why am I going to read scripture? And again, a servant, maybe who ought to be preparing a lesson, says, okay, why does it matter? The kids aren't going to remember anything anyways. So why put forth the effort? Again, all of these are thoughts of laziness, right? In which we look at the work and we don't find the work valuable, so we don't do it. So we need to ask ourselves, okay, am I lazy? Or do I have some lazy tendencies? And sure, there's most of us, we have maybe a part of our life is lazy, but maybe not all of it, right? And ask, okay, am I lazy in a certain point in my life? Okay, and what can I do? Do I find it hard to take responsibility? Do I avoid things? Do I make excuses for why I shouldn't be doing something? Do I delay things that are important? Do I give the minimal effort and the tasks, whether it's my spiritual canon or it's in my duties at home or at work or at school? Do I fill my life with distraction and I'd rather be on my phone than be engaged with other people doing other things? Again, this is laziness. Do I choose comfort over responsibility? Again, this is laziness. I'll leave you with a saying that I read. There was a gardener, and the gardener, he said what? He said, a garden doesn't become overgrown in one day, but by one day at a time by doing nothing. So the garden doesn't become overgrown with weeds right away, but it's just every day not doing anything, then it becomes overgrown. The same thing with the lazy life. Lazy life will be, you'll be consumed with laziness if every day I just do nothing. Or if some part of my life is left always empty, you know, wasting this time. So God willing, next week we'll speak about how to overcome laziness, or maybe just some points on how to overcome laziness. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.